Well, this morning, I want to preach to you about turning my life, turning my church towards better. Not looking behind me, not worry about what went on yesterday, but turning my life towards better. And we're going to be looking at Colossians 3. 1 through 10. Colossians 3, 1 through 10. Paul never visits this town, but he works with a leader in Ephesus, which is about 100 miles away from Colossae, who lived here, named Epaphras. And he goes back and he shares the gospel with Laodicea and with Hierapolis. And that's where this church emerges from. Has a lot of Gentiles in it and has some Jews. But many of the Jews are trying to influence the new believers towards Judaism. And Paul writes this letter to encourage them. No, it can't get any better than when you're in Jesus. Can I get a witness? And so Paul writes this letter to encourage them to turn back to what was being taught by that individual who is now, Epaphras, is now a prisoner in Rome with Paul. So, he says in the 10th verse, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. How do we get to our best self? How do we make that turn, Chris? How do we get on the that come through our text this morning? Four. The first one is turn my heart towards Christ. Turn my heart towards Christ. This makes a lot of sense. When I got married before I got married, I was actually 12 years old when I got introduced to Cheryl. And heard it. I said, that's yeah. What I really was saying, she's going to make things better. Y'all don't hear me? She's going to make things better. For me, I'm going to marry her. Little did I know that that was the plan of God. For even after 54 years, she is still the love of my life. The very first thing, if you want life better, and this is not any humor intended here, you've got to fall in love. Y'all hear me? You got to fall in love with Jesus. Paul says it this way, the great theologian of the New Testament. He says, you have been raised with Christ. Set your what? Your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In other words, whenever the scripture says that something is at the right hand of God, that means it's equal with God. The right hand is a powerful hand. Jesus is at the right hand. Jesus, who is equal with God. So, not this heart, not the nepesh, not the physical heart, but set your love. Can I get a witness? Can you give all of your love to Jesus. If you want it better, if you want the best life that you can have, then join your heart with Jesus. Is that true? Is that true for you all? It is true for me. A smart individual, a legalist, had come to Jesus and asked him, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, oh, that's easy. Matthew 22, 37 and 38 says, love the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. You can't beat it. There's another one that comes after it, and that is to love people like you love one another. But the greatest, Javier, the greatest commandment. You know, there's only two commandments that he gives us. One of them is to love each other, and the greatest commandment is what? Love God. You know, it's so amazing to me how usually when people fall in love with another person, they usually fall in love with some characteristic. They either like the way the person looks, or they like something about their personality. Are you with me? And sometimes that doesn't play out. But where God is concerned, he is so great you can't get over him. He's so wide you can't get under him. You will never understand all of him, but to just give him your love. Can I trust him with the most precious thing that I have? My love. I wouldn't give my love to anything. I've heard young people say, I love that one. I love that one. I love this one. I've got 10 loves. Well, my goodness gracious, you got too many loves. I'm glad we live in a country that says, look, let's make it simple. You can marry one person, okay? And you make that your focus. Well, where God is concerned, there is one God, and every knee must bow, and every tongue must confess that that God is the one that you love. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? At one point in your life, hear what I'm saying, you all. Hear what I'm saying, Luke. At one point in your life, you've got to bow. You don't have to do it, but one time. And that'll give you the relation. That'll give you the turn. It won't cure your life in terms of all the other things you may have to do, but it'll get you turned in the right direction. All right. It'll get you moving in the right direction. It'll get you at the right incline in the right direction. There may be some mountains to climb and a ways to go, but in terms of being in the right direction, this is it. For God I live and for God I die. I love Jesus more than anything else in this world. Can you give him a clap on that? I think about all the songs, you know, that we do. I love you, Lord, and I live by voice. I mean, we have hundreds of hymns that say this over and over. Why? Because it is place that you turn. You give the church your hand. I'm now a fellow member with you. I'm now a part of the family. But I don't love you like I love him. I don't love this building like I love him. I don't love the stuff like I love him. And I'm not ashamed to say I am a part of the bride of Christ. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you can clap again if you want to. You don't have to give up on that. The first turn towards better is saying, Lord, I love you. You're the Lord of my life. The second thing is to turn my thoughts towards Christ. Now he's got my heart. And if you want to keep on doing better, then you give Christ your mind. Can I tell you a little secret from me, myself, Chris? For years, I gave God through Jesus Christ my heart, but I never gave him my mind. I didn't know that the Bible was his word, his mind changer for me. You know that the words will change your mind. I mean, words can make you a brain surgeon, can make you an engineer. Words can. Very powerful. There's nothing more powerful in terms of the word than God's word, the Bible. But if you don't ever read it, if you don't ever open it, I had more dust on my Bible. I could have grew tomatoes and okra and all of the, I could have grown a garden with all of the dirt that I had on my Bible. And then one day, I kid you not, I had an individual who told me that if you want a better life, y'all don't hear me, if you want a turn in your life that will empower you, then you need to learn God's word. It made sense because you feed your body good corn and fruit. You feed your mind the libraries of the great learned people of the world. But you feed your soul, word of God, and you'll never hunger or thirst again. Not for that. Not for that. Anybody here satisfied with you? I'm full. Whew. Anybody ever been full? Cheryl and I went to dinner on last night with some friends who have attended this church. And when we were through, we just sat up there like we had a Thanksgiving dinner. And we say, oh boy, this is a fool. He says, Paul says, set your minds, not your heart, but set your mind. Because you see, your heart, you can't think with your heart. You think with your mind. So not only are you physical, the nepesh, but you have a mind. He says, set it, your intellectual portion, on the things above. Not on earthly things. That's not to say that God doesn't want you to think about things that are on the earth level, because there are some things that you do need to logically think about. Your health and your financial situation, your work and so on. But he says there are some things that are higher. There are things that are greater than what you feed. You can't feed. If you want to turn your life to the better, okra won't get you there. Corn won't get you there. Even the most learned books in the world won't get you there. But the word of God, it will. Turn your mind. Come on, everybody, point. Turn your mind. Look at the person next to you and tell them, I got to study more. Can I get a witness? I don't care. I know, I'll never know enough. He said, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I already got my ticket to go to heaven. I already got my ticket. But I need his word for down here. It is the only thing that will give me instruction. And I'm going to talk about the teacher in just a minute. But it is the curriculum that will lead me to a better life. How many of you, you parents especially, if you sent your kid, you said they wanted to be a heart surgeon, but when you got there and visited them at their school, they had all these books up there, engineering, law, and everything else. What would be your first question you'd say? I sent you there to be a heart surgeon. What would be the first thing if you never saw a book on surgery of the heart? What would you say? Where's the book? I see the engineering. That's a great book. I see the law. It's a great book. But where is the book on heart surgery? Y'all don't hear me. You say that you serve the Lord Jesus Christ and that he is your Lord and your Savior, but where is the book? You see, you can't get fed. You can't get the strength that you need unless you get in the book. I want to turn. You know, there's nothing worse than hearing somebody say, I want to do better, but they never step in the right direction. I want better, but they never get off the couch. I want better, but I don't want to put any effort out there. You see, it takes effort in order to feed your spirit, man. He said, for you died and your life is now hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. But that wasn't you here on this earth physically. That was the old man, which is going to come up. Paul's going to deal with that. But you need some food for your spirit, man. Can I get a witness? Which is the word of God. That's why we show up here, don't we, Esther? No, I mean, is that not the reason, John, why we show up? Is that why you come to Bible study? Because if you say Bible study, then that means we're going to see what? We're going to see the Bible. It means we're going to open up the Bible. It means I'm going to get my spirit fed in the name of Jesus. That's why I'm here. I don't want anything less than that. I'm not saying that there aren't some important books about your history. I'm not saying that there aren't some important things about how to get a good diet or how to lose weight or how to do this. I'm just simply saying my soul hungers. And I know that if I'm going to be better, you got to eat right. If you want to be better, can I get a witness? And that is the book. I am convinced. Is anybody else besides me convinced? It is the book. Don't give me another book. Don't write me another chapter. Don't write me another verse. Just give me those 66 books. Somewhere in there, there's some food for life. Somewhere in there, my thirst is quenched. But don't try to pass off anything else. I like a good testimony, but give me the book. Isaiah says it this way. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God and he will freely pardon. Say it with me. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I don't care what thoughts you have here. And that's not to say the thoughts are all bad here. I'm just simply saying my thoughts are higher And I'm going to freely give that to you. I've already made it available to you. I've already decided on the means by getting it to you. And I'm saying that if you give Jesus your heart, and if you give Jesus your thoughts, your mind, it'll be a what? A turn for better. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. What does righteous mean? Righteous means those who line up with God's word. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. They always get better. Can I get a witness? How many want better today? Yeah, I don't care where you are. That sounds to me like it'd be a pretty logical. I want better. I want better because I believe God is better. And I don't know all the time what that looks like, but I do know this. God wants the best for me, and I want the best for me. And so I'm going to line up with what God wants. He says, do not conform in Romans, Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. That means don't conform to the thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, all of the thinking that we have on the world level, don't let that be your only thought, because there are a thought that's higher. Can I get a witness? There's a thought that is more fulfilling. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will is. Let me tell you, that's the center of this right here, of what you're going to see in a minute. And I'm going to take my time and unpack that for you. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Come on, say it with me. I want what God wills for my life. I want what God wills for my life. When I was in the old church, I'd say it like this. I want what God wills, oh Lord, for my life. I don't want anything more than that. And I don't want anything less than that, than what God wills for my life. He says you get it by turning your heart towards me and turning your mind toward me. I need them both. Can I get a witness? I need them both, John. You can't just give me your heart and get this. You'll get to heaven, but you'll still catch hell here on earth. You want to stop catching hell? Anybody here want to stop catching hell? How many here tired of going in the wrong direction and I'm saved? He said, well, turn your mind and start learning about me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Matter of fact, I'm Mr. Way. And I'm the truth. And Mr., you know the signs that are on the street out there to give you direction? It's got Jesus on every one of them. You can't miss it unless you just decide to turn away from it and go in the opposite direction. You hear me, Abilene? As a young person, let me tell you, days, even though many of us are older than you, Junior, maybe though some of us are older, way older than you are, it's still the same process. And you will still have the same question. Do you want better? I stand before you this morning because I have answered that question. I want better. I want the best that God has for me. And I believe that if I give him my heart, am I preaching? I think I'm preaching. And if I give him my mind, study his word, I'll get there. Sometimes I got a limp. Can I get a witness? But I'm not changing directions. I'm not changing my way. I'm not going down another lane. I'm not turning to the left. I'm not turning to the right. I'm on this road and I'm going all the way. And if I get there by hook or crook, if I've got to crawl, I'm going on. I want to hear him say, well done. A good and faithful servant. Come on, say it with me. 2 Timothy 3, 16-17. Some scripture. A couple. Whatever part of the Bible you want. All scripture is God-breathed. That means inspired. And is useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in being right with God. So that the servant, that's me and you, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You got to decide. You know, there's some people, I mean, they've got this scripture and they got that. You have to decide what is the scripture for you, because this is important, isn't it? This is important for me turning. Well, I remember the day when the light came on and I made, how many of you can remember when you made your turn? You know, some folk can't remember when they got saved. You know, it was so young or whatever, and they, you know, but thank God they gave Jesus their heart. But I think most of us can remember when you started taking the word of God seriously and you started reading it and studying it, and you were so hungry and thirsty for his word. You can remember that, can't you? And you start to hear that old song, what a wonderful change has come into my life since Jesus has come into my life. It's true. I made that turn, and life is better. You know, when we see young people make a decision, some of our young, we know we don't have anybody graduating this year, but next year, I think we've got Abney, we've got Pedro, a couple who will be going on, and some of them will say, oh, I'm going to be this, and I'm going to be that, and I'm going to, and all of them will take some kind of book. Can I get a witness? And we will do what? We will clap, and we will say, oh, there they go, keep on going. But we'll also be saying, keep your word with you. Keep the word of God right beside you and make sure that you open it each and every day so that it might feed you as nothing else can. Can I get a witness? Number three, how are we doing so far? Okay, I like that. Thank you, Jesus. Turn my old behaviors in for new behaviors. Turn my heart, turn my mind, and now I have to turn my walk. I have to turn my walk. That's what the old folk used to call your behaviors. They usually could tell you by the way you walked, you know, the things that you did. And Paul, this is a little lengthy here. Let me go ahead and say, he says, put to death. There's some things that are in your behavior that you need to put to death. He says, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. The first thing he says is sexual immorality. Let me get you to think about something, especially young people in here. Sex is not bad. That's how you got here. And I know you got to know that already. But God says the word immorality and morality is the difference between morality, the way God wants it to be done. Are you with me? And immorality is the way God does not want it to be done. He says, so put away the sexual immorality. Don't put away the sex, because there's a way that I want you to do it. Every man ought to have his own what? His own wife. And every woman ought to have her own what? You're not like bunnies hopping all over the place. That's right. the marriage bed pure. Don't go out. You know, he's real serious about that, right? When you don't keep it pure and you're not married, he calls it fornication. And if you don't keep it pure and you're married, he calls it adultery. The only time he calls it being on the path. You know, some people have to learn that. I know you all look like you're saved and sanctified right now, but I'm just saying, you know. And we need to tell our young people. We need to tell them. It's a very powerful thing right here. And if you don't use it rightly, it'll push you off the path. Can I get a witness? I mean, it's that powerful. It'll make you do. It'll make you yield to somebody who's not on the path. It may even have your parents. You know, I've seen people with children, and the children have gotten older. You know, they're like in their maybe late 20s, and, you know, which is a 30s, which is a little late, kind of, and maybe kind of late for having children, this type of thing. And many parents will say, you know what? It's okay. You all come and just shack up here with me instead of being out there. And it's okay. And what we do is we set up a dangerous pathway away from God. Y'all don't hear me. I'm just simply to you that God says, I need it done my way. And when you turn to me, I need to have your heart. I need to have your mind, but I also need to have your behavior, because that's going to say something about me. My daddy, he was a very strict disciplinarian. I don't know if you could tell that by me, but he was a very strict disciplinarian. Very strict. He would look at our homework, Javier, every night. And the reason why he'd look at it, even if he didn't understand all of it, he looked at the paper to make sure there was no smudges on it. Because back then we used to erase. We didn't have the typewriter. We didn't have the computer. And so a lot of times you just erase it, it'd be all smudged up. No, you didn't hand in some, because that represented me. If I see on your report card, we used to get a mark for behavior or conduct. Y'all, they should have that conduct. And you got to pass or fail. If you got to fail, guess what? You gonna fail. Oh, y'all don't hear me. They'd probably throw parents in jail for some of the stuff that we used to get. But what he was saying to you is that your academics at this point is on you, but your behavior is on me. And when you leave this house, you represent me. I came to understand that as a parent, that I wanted my children, if they wasn't the smartest in the world, then they just wasn't the smartest, but they could act godly. That was in their potential. It was in them to act like God through Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, put to death, kill it. It's going to try to resurrect, but you make sure it's dead. Your sexual immorality, your impurity, your lust, your evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. In other words, you gave it license. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. From your lips. Any problem? You know, I've heard of people getting a good job, Deacon Brenda, and but bad behavior, bad character ruin it for you every time. You get on there, you're lying, you're stealing, or you allow your incompetence to become more dominant than your company. I mean, you're late every time. You know, you got an excuse for why you haven't done it. And after a while, somebody says, you know, do you really want this? Is this really? My behavior says a lot about who I am. And I have to raise the question, what would Christ do? And then start doing it. So, the question again, how many want better? Got to make a turn, right? Jesus, my heart. Jesus, my mind. Jesus, my behavior. Is that right? Now, do y'all want me to give this last one or do you want me to sit down? You want it? Okay. All right. That's what I like. I like hungry Christians. And I like to feed. I believe that the word of God will feed you. That's why I'm here. If I were talking about engineering or whatnot, good subjects, but they ain't going to feed you this morning. All right, last one. And I need your full attention here. Because for some of you, I'm going to teach you something. This will be your first time ever hearing this. I believe that. May not be, but it'll be some of you. Turn my old self in for my new self. Turn my heart. Turn my mind. Turn my behavior. Those all make sense. What is this self? No, I'm not asking you for that. But what is this self that he's talking about turning in for a new self? In other words, on this turn, Rashawn, there's something in me. He says myself. And I got to turn myself in for what self? Are we talking about? Are you ready? Do I have your full attention? I got your full attention, John. I got your full attention. I got your full attention. All right. What are we talking about here? Remember, it's all about what? I'm turning toward better. Javier, I'm turning toward better. I understand my heart. I understand my mind. I understand my behavior. What is this self and how do I turn it in? He says, do not lie to each other since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. In other words, this word we got for the mind, you get it the same way that you get all of your other new information through your mind, but only the knowledge of God in the image of its creator. I want you to focus now on Matthew. We've been studying Matthew, the Beatitudes, on Wednesday. Look at what it says. Javier, blessed are the poor in what? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, that on its face does not make sense. Because I've been taught all my life, I need more spirit. Am I wrong or right? I've been taught all my life, I need to become more spiritual. But this text says the word blessed, makarios, means to be happy or to be joyful. You will be happier when you are poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Basileus Irenaeus, the kingdom of heaven. I want to go, how many of you think that a turn towards the kingdom of heaven is a good turn? Well, Jesus said, this is actually Jesus speaking. He says, well, then you need to get poor in your spirit. Now, I want you to notice something about this text. Is spirit a capital S or a small S? Ah, makes all the difference in the world. In other words, now again, some of you, this will be the first time you've ever heard this. I need full attention. I am born physically. Are you with me? I am born mentally. God told me how to use those things. In other words, turning them over to him. but I'm also born spiritually. And he's saying, you got to turn that over to me too. Not only your heart, not only your mind, but I need that spirit part of you. Are you with me? Now, for those, I'm going to keep this as simple as I can. All right. But I do need your attention. My spirit knows what my mind has learned. My spirit knows what my mind has learned. Are you with me? And my spirit will tell me this is the best way to go. This is the best way to go. Make a turn this way. Make a turn that way. My spirit will tell me exactly what I am supposed to do. The only thing is, my spirit won't tell me what God wants me to do. It is not able. It is not equipped. It is not functionable. It is defunct. It is limited. It can only tell me, in other words, if I need more money, then my spirit will say, it's all right. Get your gazillion worth of dollars. It'll make you happy. If I need more relationship, you say, go out there and get all of the relationship that you want and please your flesh. It'll make you happy because logically that makes sense. Are you with me? But God says that when you turn your spirit over to me, I'm talking about when you give me your spirit, I'll replace it with what? The Holy Spirit, His Spirit, which knows my mind. Oh, y'all don't hear me. This is good. My spirit knows my thinking. Your spirit only knows your thinking. If you want to get the best time, then you've got to turn yourself over. Thank you. I need to have you completely. I need your heart. I need your mind. And I need your spirit. I don't want you to operate off of your spirit because your spirit will tell you to go out there and get all the flesh you can. Can I get a witness? Your spirit will tell you to go out there and get all the money you can because that's limited. And that'll make you happy. And it may make you happy for a few minutes, but it won't make you happy eternally. God says you need my spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to interpret the mind of God because the Holy Spirit is God and is a great teacher living where? Where? You mean to tell me that when I get Jesus by giving him my heart and giving him my mind, I've got the Holy Spirit living inside of me? Let's see what the word says. Y'all want me to quit? I feel like this might be some teaching here today. I got to get my spirit out of the way. Hey, say it with me. I got to get my spirit out of the way and make room for the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me so that the Holy Spirit can tell me and direct me on what God's will. Paul. Back again, 1 Corinthians 2, 19-16. I want to read this, but I want you to think about it as I read it. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, your spirit, my spirit, your mind, my mind, your heart, my heart, none of it knows what God wants for you. Are you with me? Are you with me? You can't get it by way of the stuff that you've been born with. Stay with me now. These are the things God has revealed to us by his what? Capital S. Let me just go back a minute. The things that God, you know, say like this. God's got some things prepared for me. When I turn to him, when I turn to God, he's got some things prepared for me. These things are only revealed by who? They're also revealed by my little spirit, right? No, by my flesh. You mean I can't read it out of some of the great minds of the world? Plato, Aristotle, Socrates. You mean to tell me when I read about the great minds of the world, it won't help me to understand what God's will is for me? No, none of it will if you put it all together. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And it lives inside of me. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? I've got a spirit in me that understands what I understand. But that won't get me to the best turn. I wouldn't be here this morning if that's all I needed. You know, with my love. He says, in the same way, come on, hang in here now with me, Junie. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the big spirit of God. How many want the thoughts of God? The thoughts of God is on the right turn. I want God's thoughts. I want God's way. I want my behavior to line up with God's behavior. I can't get there. And you know what? That's not the only problem. If I could get there, I don't have the power to stay there. The only power that will keep me there is the Holy Spirit power. It's called dunamis. Let me hear you say dunamis. Dunamis. Power. Dynamite power. God will blow up anything to keep you on his path. God will blow up all of the mountains to keep you moving towards him. Oh, it may look like I'm falling sometime. It may look like I'm stumbling sometime. But I'm going to keep on moving. I'm going to keep on going because I'm headed toward the Basileus Arrhenius, the kingdom of heaven. I'm teaching better than you listening. I'm serious. You said it this morning. I need to know God's will. I'm saying your spirit won't get you there. And you have a spirit. One of your greatest faults, and this is for any of us, is to rely on what you know. And your spirit and your mind and your heart. Your heart will get you in trouble. Can I get a witness? Your mind will get you in trouble. I've seen some stinking thinking. Out of some smart people. I've seen some rich devils. What we have received. Come on, read this with me. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit, big S, who is from God, so that we may what? You mean? I can understand what God's will is for my life. I can understand. I can't understand it for you, but I can understand it for me. Are you with me? I can't understand it for you. Now, why is that? All right. Last time I'm going to ask you for full attention. Are you with me? There are two words in the Bible for word. The first one is logos. Let me hear you say logos. Which means either the living word or the written word. Are you with me? In the beginning, John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And then it jumps down to verse 14. And it says, and the word put on eyes and ears and a nose and a mouth. It put on flesh. And it became like me. Teach me. The way of God. Jesus has left the scene. The Holy Spirit is here now. He takes not only the logos, but he takes the rhema. Let me hear you say rhema. Look at that. That's why I sit up like that. I know that Greek word is word, but it talks about the word of everyday life. He walks with me. He talks with me along the narrow way. He shows me. He orders my steps. Can I get a witness here? Oh, I've come this far by faith. You know, it's like a minefield out there. And I hear you say, step on this side. No, step on that side. Step on this side. Don't worry, I'm going to get you there. You're going to get there as long as you stick with me. And I'm going to tell you what. The Holy Spirit has never, never been wrong. Can I get a witness? Can you give him a great big clap? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because you see, I don't understand it all. But the Holy Spirit understands the will of God for me. He will give me, I already have logos life, but he'll give me a rhema word. Look that word up. R-H-E-M-A. A rhema word. So I can. How many of you stepped in some bombs? I blew my whole leg off. I done missed a lot of holes, D. Hey, you feel pretty good, huh? You know, when you're going in the right way. Sometimes you get funky. When you're doing it right, can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and thank him. Go ahead and thank him, Abilene. Go ahead and thank him, Junior, because he will show you the way for your life. Not just the way. I don't need anybody coming here and being impressed with my life. The same thing that he has done for others, he will do the same thing. Can I get a witness? This is what we speak. Not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in what? Words, rhema, taught by the Spirit. You see, the Spirit is your teacher. Some of you have never heard that before, but some of you use, yeah, I know it. Well, I'm trying to tell you, trying to teach you. So why does a person teach? So that you can understand. Explaining spiritual realities with spirit taught words. I feel like preaching this again next week. Words taught by the Spirit. I'm already saved, logos. But words taught by the Spirit. There's a whole Bible there of words that the Holy Spirit wants to teach each and every one of us in here. Explaining spiritual realities with spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. My father, I'm almost done here. Is this making sense? You wouldn't just be shaking your head, would you? My father lost his leg. And I went home to be with him when he was getting ready to lose the leg. And he asked me, he said, you know, you think if we pray that God will heal my leg? And I said, Daddy, I can't tell God what to do. But I know that you can go home and you can live a productive life. And he did. He good 10, 15 years after that. But then he got gangrene in his second leg. And he told me, John, he said that if I ever have my second leg cut off, I don't want to live anymore. I said, God, let me tell you, Your life is not yours. You see, your life belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the biggest thing you can do for better, with one leg, with two legs, with no leg, the best thing you can do is give him your whole body. That means if you got legs, you don't have legs, Lord, here am I. He knows you better than you know yourself. And if he's got a way and he wants to use you, he'll use you with or without legs. And he took my advice and he went on to live a couple of more years. All I'm saying here is that if you want the Holy Spirit's teaching, come on, let me get your attention here now, and then I'm going to be done. If you want the Holy Spirit, how many want the Holy Spirit's teaching? Want to know the will of God for my life? Then the same thing like with my daddy's leg. He wore a prosthesis. And then he had to get a prosthesis for the other leg. You think he walked the same way as he did when his legs were perfect when he first put on that prosthesis? Of course not. He had to do what? He had to practice. Y'all don't hear me. He had to trust those legs to hold him up. You know what? He never got to this, but I've seen people with those little blade-like things to be running like folk who have been in races and don't have legs at all. I'm just simply saying that you got to trust the Holy Spirit and his will for your life. And when you trust him one time and you discover that he'll get you through, then you trust him two times, then you trust him three times, and then you trust him over and over, and you discover he never fails me yet. Y'all gonna miss me when I'm gone. I'm just teasing you on that. I hope you do miss me. Come think about it. But I don't mean you're going to miss me to the point where, because God's got something else for you. But the key thing I want you to leave out here with today is that the Holy Spirit, not Leroy Ganey, is the one who is your real teacher. Am I making sense to you? That's the real teacher. And the real teacher, if you trust him more and more, will give you the strength to stay on the track. Not only will he help you to understand, but he'll give you the power with no legs. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have what? The mind of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You just got to trust him. Don't be like the man that's got the prosthesis on, but never gets up. Never walks because they don't trust him. Hey, done. Say it for me. And the new man, it's really your spirit. Turn your old spirit in. You can't get rid of the old spirit. I want you to know it's part of you. But you got a new spirit that's trying to teach you, trying to help you understand the way of God. It's your turn. You want better. Is this the truth, Noel? Is this the truth? Is this the truth, Abney? Is this the truth, Junior? Turn towards Christ, my heart. Turn towards Christ, my mind. Turn towards Christ, my behaviors. Turn towards Christ, my spirit. The doors of the church are open. I'm going to ask Deacon Carl if you come, Noel, and counselors, if you would come forward. It's a good church right here. You know that? It's a great church. Yeah. And let me tell you what. All great churches are not big churches. Some of them are little churches. God uses little churches, uses medium-sized churches, uses big churches, uses them all. You got to decide, I'm the church. And where two or three of us are gathered in His name, turning people towards Him. That's right. That's my job. That's my job, Olga. Turning people towards Him. Helping people to stay on the track. Because sometimes we slip off, don't we? Or like Paul, we backslide. Or sometimes we allow people to trip us up. You ever been tripped up? Doggone it, I let them trip me up again. But this time, how many staying in? This time, how many moving forward? This time, the doors of the church are open. What do you want to do? You can make your turn, or you can sit and cry, and I can tell you right now, ain't nobody coming to help. Not this time. My help is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I don't want any other help than what He has for me. Won't you come? Won't you come?